All right, well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. It's great to be here in Vienna this morning. I'm Ed Blankenship. I'm the product manager for Visual Studio Online, which we'll talk a little bit more about a little bit later. But it's great that you're here this morning. It's great that we have a full day of great sessions that you'll end up learning a lot about. But I really want to talk to you a little bit about what we've done in the past year at Microsoft. But the first thing I wanted to do is thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for watching the event, if you're watching remotely. But most importantly, thank you for making Visual Studio 2012 the best release ever. We've had some great, just an amazing year. We had 6 million downloads of Visual Studio 2012. And then last year, we made a promise to you that we'd continuously deliver new value to you in a more frequent release cadence. So with that, we did 3 updates, and 60% of all of our install base actually took those updates. So thank you very much. And we're also, we put out Visual Studio 2012 Update 4 last week. So that's immediately available to you. But we also provided all of that value, and it's still the best way to get to it with MSDN subscriptions. So MSDN is also our portal for giving you the right information as developers, and we've had phenomenal growth over the last year. Everyone's wanting to get really good information. 2.2 billion page views, so it's great. But we've had such a phenomenal year. And just a year ago, we released Visual Studio 2012, and we're already a year later announcing Visual Studio 2013. And so hopefully, how many of you have already downloaded and installed Visual Studio 2013? Great. Pretty much everyone.
If I turn off your percentage, that's the reason why we can't record.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay, so I just wanted to talk a little bit about from the last year to this year. One of the things we've noticed in the world is that we're pretty much in a big change. We're in a change where we're being asked to every company, whether you're a media company, you're a retail company, whether you're a software company, every company is a software company now. And that's really what's been turning us into that world of change. And so software becomes the key differentiator in every business. And innovation is the key to that. So the way that you go and delight your customers and your business users and those internally is by putting out innovation. And so ideas are king. They are king in this new world where we are delivering value. The other part of that is getting out very quickly. So no longer can we wait around with those ideas. We have to get it out into the market, get it in front of our customers very, very quickly. Now, there's two parts of that that help us out. So services are really that fundamental, that foundational hidden piece to enable that innovation. And then also devices are now the most important customer interaction. And it's shaping our internal IT. It's shaping our products to our external customers. It's really changing the way we do things. So we really have to think about how we build those modern business applications where we've got some back-end services and then we have lots of front-ends, whether those are standard IT, you know, approved front-ends or also those devices that you actually allow your consumers and your employees within your organizations to bring in. And so as we think about this consumerization of IT, we really are going to embrace these changes and we're going to help you out as developers. And developers are really the center stage in this new world of change. Now, what Microsoft is doing is we're providing what we call the Cloud OS. And the Cloud OS is really Microsoft's vision for a unified platform to help you embrace that transformation in this world. But you can do it at your own pace. So we have the cloud, which is enterprise grade, but you can run that cloud OS on premises. We have a hybrid solution that allows you to extend that up to the public cloud as well. So whether that's in our cloud in Windows Azure or through our service providers. And really, it spans all of the areas that are involved in today's transformation and brings software development to the world of devices and services as we transform. It enables the modernization of those new line of business applications as we think about the modern business application that allow us to create new and exciting consumer applications that meet those new user expectations. You can't just go and have, you know, just a basic application anymore. Consumers want more. And I think that's great. I think it pushes us forward and it really helps us out. So as we think about the last three decades of Visual Studio, man, it's been three decades. We have now, the Cloud OS is not only a platform for your applications to target, it also provides a platform for Visual Studio. So we started in the 90s with just a client-based application. In the 2000s, we moved into a client server. So you think about SourceSafe and Team Foundation Server. So we brought developers together on premises. And now in the 2010s, we're in the world of services. And so the Cloud OS enables Visual Studio to actually move into the next area of application development, which is services. And this era is where Visual Studio goes beyond just tooling, goes beyond just server components, and provides each of you as developers and your development teams additional services that you can consume and acquire on your own terms and really enable those new modern business applications. So what we're doing in this new era is we're announcing Visual Studio Online. And Visual Studio Online is a set of development services. Oh, let's click that. There we go. Visual Studio Online is a set of services and offerings that's part of Microsoft's OS, Cloud OS vision. And it's very tightly integrated with Windows Azure, and it's powered by Windows Azure underneath. And it's thought for helping you to create the next generation of applications targeting devices and services. So as we think about what Visual Studio Online actually is, we're extending those development tools with services. So you think about our IDE now, it's connected, and it's connected to provide you services that you need for both you and your teams. So the Visual Studio IDE combined with those services will provide an incredible experience. But the services can be used separately. So you can use it with other development tools. So for example, Eclipse and Xcode, we are natively integrating those and powering those to be able to connect up to Visual Studio Online. And Martin will talk about that a little bit more in the next session. So really, your team, as you think about it, the broader team, using Visual Studio, Eclipse, Xcode, can all work together using Visual Studio Online. And so Visual Studio Online is really, it's a unified product of services. We will have some new and existing services, so I'll tell you a little bit more about those. You probably have heard some of those, and if you haven't, then we'll save the news for today. But also, it's a way of you consuming Visual Studio. So I don't know if you noticed, but one of our plans is actually a non-commitment monthly kind of rental of Visual Studio. And so you can consume Visual Studio as a client and keep up to date using that new plan, that monthly plan. So, and what's great about it is we've also announced that Visual Studio Online is available to individuals and teams of less than five completely for free. So you can take advantage of that. There's no cost. Just sign up for an account. We don't ask for a credit card or anything. Also, for all MSDN subscriptions, it's now included as a subscription benefit. So MSDN is still the best way to get to take advantage of Visual Studio Online. And then also I mentioned that cloud-based subscription. So for all of your non-MSDN users and for team members over five, you can take advantage of new monthly user plans that are non-commitment and allow you to have people collaborate with your team and as you need to. Now, I'm going to take a short, brief demo here. Let's see if it works here. All right. So I'm going to show you on visualstudio.com. Oh, let's see here. I know what's going on. There we go. All right. So visualstudio.com. Provides you, this just got released last week, and what we've done is we've taken some learnings from the old Team Foundation Service site, and we brought this over. So now you can learn all about what you need. We have great getting started documentation, so when you need all of the great comprehensive documentation, it's still available in the MSDN library, but sometimes you just want to get started really quickly, so we've got that there. We also have information about all sorts of stuff. So, for example, like Visual Studio Online, so I can click on there. And we can get some information about different user-based plans and what's in each of them. Also, you can get started for free. So this is where you can just click. You can create your new account. We'll ask you for a name. So it'll be, you know, something like Deutsche Bank. VisualStudio.com or edblankenship.visualstudio.com, because you can have both. You can have one for individual use and one for team use as well. So, but you get started there, and once you've done that, it only takes a couple of minutes, and you're up and going. And so you're brought to your homepage, and you can track your work. You can put your source code in there with both traditional version control repositories as well as Git. With distributed version control, so Martin will talk a little bit more about that in the next session. But we've got collaboration rooms, we've got test case management, we've got all sorts of stuff that's available, and it's immediately available. You don't have to worry about servers. We upgrade this every 3 weeks, give you new features every 3 weeks. So it's a great way to get going, and the easiest way is just to open Visual Studio straight from here, and it will connect right up, so it knows about those services in Visual Studio. All right, great. So, all right. Okay, great. So, as I said before, this is not everything. We're exploring what additional services that we can provide you as a developer and development teams. In the future, you can imagine all sorts of new ones. I'll tell you about another one that we've announced as well a little bit later. As we enhance the development and experience, we're thinking about what that would be, and certainly we're all ears. So as you can think of things, feel free to get in touch with any of your Austrian counterparts here, or feel free to send me an email. I'll have my email address at the end. But one of the things people ask us about is, hey, a question is like, what about the IDE? Can it be a service as well? And so what we did was we asked that question to ourselves a couple of years ago as well. And so now what we've done is we've actually put a lightweight editor in the browser, in any modern browser, that allows you to edit code and get some of the great experiences of Visual Studio. It certainly doesn't replace it. We're calling it codename Monaco, and it allows you to get some of the great experiences. But just like I use kind of Word as a web app in Office 365, it doesn't replace my usage of Word on my desktop every day. There's some experiences and scenarios that make sense. So for example, what we've done and enabled right now in the preview is allowing you to edit Azure websites straight from there. So it'll allow you to connect up to your Git repository of Visual Studio Online and then help you deploy that straight back to your Azure website. So we're going to provide those. That same editor is in a lot of different Microsoft experiences. So if you've used the Office 365 development tools, it's there. In Team Foundation Service and Visual Studio Online, it's there. Even SkyDrive. SkyDrive uses the same code editor. You may not have seen it, but now we have it available to you now. So Monaco is an interesting thing. I'll show that to you a little bit later in my session, later this afternoon. All right. So that was just a sneak peek on some of the key areas that start this new era of Visual Studio. And MSDN and Visual Studio and Windows Azure really being brought together to provide a leading cloud development set of tools and services. And it's a solution to help you leverage the Microsoft Cloud OS as we go into this new era and deliver the next generation of applications. So the rest of today, we'll actually dive in deeper to each of these areas. And so the first area is we can't talk about the Microsoft Cloud OS without actually talking about Windows Azure. So we'll talk just a little bit about Windows Azure here. Now, as we talk to customers, we hear three things. We hear three things that are always coming up as reasons why they end up using Windows Azure. And the first reason is time to market. So being able to leverage cloud-based resources that are available on demand, it really helps development teams get up and going very, very quickly. So developers can be effective immediately. They don't have to deal with IT. They can just get going and get what they need. And then they can expand as they need to. So you think of that horrible problem of having a successful app and needing to scale quickly. By using Windows Azure, you can absolutely do that. The second one is being able to be flexible and consistent. And so we built Windows Azure in a way that not only Microsoft developers, not only .NET developers, but also you think about Node and all sorts of other, it's an open platform that you can be able to use on virtually anything. So Windows, Linux, and we give you all great sorts of SDKs available for each of those. Now, you can use that cloud service on the back end to power things like your mobile devices and your mobile services. You can use that for big data analytics, which is pretty much universal across modern business applications and a variety of other scenarios. And then we keep that consistency between Windows Azure and on-premises with Windows Server so that it's easier for you as a developer to be able to keep going with that. So you can take advantage of the Windows Azure pack today and run, essentially, Windows Azure on your on-premises network. So you can move your app between on-premises and in the cloud. So what we see is a lot of people actually going in and doing their dev and test work up in Windows Azure and then bringing those back down to run on-premises with production. Now, the third reason is economics. Quite frankly, it's just cheaper. It helps you save a ton of money because you only pay what you use. And for development and tests particularly, you don't have to use much. You know, I think of myself as a developer, I'm only really using stuff, you know, how much, eight hours a day, 5 days a week. I can turn all this stuff off at nights and over the weekend. I don't work just 8 hours, but we're developers, right? But I'm only paying for what I actually am using. I can turn it off between lunch breaks and going out to get coffee or happy hours and stuff. But I don't have to pay for that. And that's one of the key pieces there. So Windows Azure users also get the best price versus performance ratio since Microsoft actually matches Amazon and Amazon Web Services pricing for commodity workloads like compute and storage and bandwidth. And so when we talk about Windows Azure, really the great thing about it is we also have a global footprint. So we've got Windows Azure everywhere. It's deployed in data centers all over the world, including in America, here in Europe, Asia, and even now in Australia. And so any application that you build can be deployed worldwide, and you don't have to worry about that. And so your apps and data are replicated across those data centers if you want them to be, or they can be contained into specific data centers when you need them to be. So disaster recovery is just a benefit for you. So, and when we think that this kind of global coverage coupled with all the features, it's going to be very powerful for you as a developer. And you'll be able to build applications and bring those to the global market very, very quickly. And so our momentum with Windows Azure is just incredible. So you think now 51% of our Fortune 500 companies have signed up and started to use Windows Azure. We get nearly 1,000 new customers a day coming on, trying us out, and putting workloads up in Windows Azure. And as we think about our compute and our storage, we are having to grow those data centers and our capacity very, very quickly. We have to double our compute and storage every 6 months, and that's just getting faster and faster. And ever since we've introduced the MSD and Azure benefits, we have had twice as number of MSDN developers actually take advantage of that benefit over the last 6 months. And one of the easiest ways to get started with Windows Azure, especially as developers, are Windows Azure websites. And since our introduction of those, we've had 170,000 websites on Windows Azure. Now, one of the other things, if you haven't heard about it, is being able to take advantage of your on-premises Active Directory authentication. You can now federate that up into the cloud using Windows Azure Active Directory, and it uses your authentication, the same authentication, to be able to use that in your line of business applications, both in mobile devices and in your websites, really, really easily. And since the introduction of that, we've had 430 billion authentications via the Windows Azure Active Directory service. So, all right. Now, what we're doing is we're working to simplify cloud development through all the capabilities, and we're bringing those all together across the Microsoft platform and tools. So you'll see, everything between. So Windows Azure, we're helping you with Visual Studio, being able to be a Windows Azure developer a lot easier. With MSDN, we're providing you the credits and benefits that you need. And if you're asking yourself where can I use Windows Azure as a Visual Studio developer, we see four developer scenarios that really make sense. So think about dev and test. So I can put up my websites, I can put up my VMs for my environments, but I can also spin up a developer workstation that already has a Visual Studio installed on it. You think extending your existing apps. So things are going to continue to be on-premises, but we can extend those up to Windows Azure. So you think about Windows Azure Active Directory, think about service buses. You're able to really kind of have this hybrid application really, really easily now. And also mobile apps. We provide a really first-class mobile service that you can just kind of not have to worry about things like notifications and publishing and subscriptions. You can take advantage of the Windows Azure mobile service, and it's really awesome. Now, if you're not familiar, how many folks in the room have actually activated their Windows Azure MSDN benefit? Yep. Okay, great. All right, we provide an amazing deal here. One, you don't need a credit card to get signed up as an MSDN subscriber. You can just create a new dev test subscription. And with that, what we've done is we've actually given you discounted dev test rates while using Windows Azure for dev tests, almost up to 97% in some cases. So you're getting great usage even with your MSDN Azure benefit. And then also, those credits are per month, and you get those every month, and you can use them for whatever you'd like, storage, bandwidth, VMs, Azure websites, whatever you want. And so just to kind of give it a little bit of concrete example here. Whoa. Love the mouse wheel here. There you go. Just give it a little bit of a concrete example. We get several, as you go up in your subscription level, you get more benefits every month. And you can see how that starts to be quite generous over time. And so if we think about the middle one with €75 per month with Visual Studio Premium or the new MSDN platforms offering, that's 3 VMs for 16 days, 16 hours a day in the month. That can be a QA environment, a dev workstation, a staging environment. You can also get up to 500 websites with a SQL database. You can use them however you want, but it's really actually providing a lot of flexibility and a lot of resources per developer and tester who has MSDN subscription. Now, another thing we've done this year in Visual Studio 2013 is we've really made the lives of ASP.NET developers a lot better. And so we've announced and put together one ASP.NET. So instead of having to worry about web forms or you worry about MVC, SignalR, all those kinds of things, we've really brought them all together as one ASP.NET. And so really bring your code in, and now we have a unified platform here. And so let me just show you a little bit about some of the improvements we've done in web development and in Windows Azure. So here we go. Great. Here we go. Oh, man. Keeps going back and forth, doesn't it? Okay, cool. So let's see here. I have to think. I love long passwords. Okay, so one of the things we've done in Visual Studio is we've actually made it really, really easy to get started as an ASP.NET developer. So you'll see right now, we only have one project template, just one. And so that's ASP.NET. And so no matter what you choose now, to get started as either web forms or MVC, it doesn't matter. We don't hold you to that choice forever. You can pick whatever you'd like. You'll even see we can add the common core references that you need over time. But it's okay. You don't have to choose this right now. You can always add to it later. But another thing that we've done is we've actually made it really easy to kind of plumb in the authentication that you need as well. So you think about if your app needs individual user accounts, so with social networks like Twitter and Facebook and Google, we'll plumb that in. It'll be right in there ready to go for you. We also talked about Windows Azure Active Directory. So you can create apps that use your Windows Azure Active Directory instance and your Active Directory authentication, or you can make apps that are multi-tenant, so you can use other people's Windows Azure Active Directory accounts. So, for example, you know, in ours, it's mycompanydemos.com, and once we do that, it's already plumbed in. We now take advantage of your Active Directory authentication that's already available in there. So, it's really easy to get going there. But some of the other things that we've done we've innovated inside of VS. So as a modern web developer, you're having to actually make sure that your applications work in multiple browsers. And so one of the things we've done here is you can now go browse with. We'll make sure this works. There we go. Okay. So let's say I want to go with Internet Explorer and Google Chrome. So I've got both of those open here. So I'll go, I'll bring those over like this. There's my Chrome window here. All right, we'll bring that over like this. And then I'll bring my Visual Studio instance over here. All right, so I've got both of these running now. And one of the things we've done is we've made it really, really easy. Now we're hosting inside Visual Studio, we're actually hosting Signal R. And so as we think about this here, there we go. Signal R is allowing us to have a connection between all the browsers that are connected to this debug instance and Visual Studio. And so it's a really awesome kind of conduit that allows us to do different things. So if I come over here, you actually see, hey, look, there's two browsers that are actually, there's the tooltip for you. As you can see, Internet Explorer and Chrome. But if I also had some mobile devices, so my Surface, iPhones, Windows phones, Visual Studio knows all of the browsers that are connected to it. And so one of the cool things that we get with that is, for example, let me open this up here. You'll see I can do different things now. So for example, I can make a change here, and then I know Visual Studio. There we go. I can go in and actually refresh it here, and what it'll do is it'll find all of those connected browsers, and it will refresh it. Well, come on. There we go. So it's a pretty instant thing. It'll help me iterate over this pretty quickly, but that's just kind of cool, right? One of the things we've done is, if we just did that, that's not worth anything. I mentioned it's a two-way conduit. It's actually a conduit where the browser can talk to Visual Studio and the Visual Studio ID can talk to those browsers. So one of the things we've done is we've actually made this fully extensible. So if I look down here, this browser link dashboard is available when I install the freely available Web Essentials. So if you don't have that, feel free to make sure you have that, because we actually add a lot of value there. But if you'll notice, I'm going to bring this Internet Explorer browser here, bring it like that. It's fully extensible, and so Web Essentials is open source. You can take a look at how we've extended this, but one of the things we've done is we've actually put it a couple of things here, like inspect mode. And so what inspect mode does, let me bring this over so you can see, is as I hover over, I lost it. There we go. As I hover over different elements on the page, it's going to go and find those elements, and it will sync back Visual Studio to help you find where that is. So it's the browser talking back to Visual Studio, and then we're synchronizing it back in Visual Studio. That's kind of cool too. But if we stop there, it wouldn't be all that awesome. So what we've also done is we've now allowed you even to say, hey, I'm going to edit right in place here. One second. There we go. No. There we go. All right, so I can go in and say, no questions allowed. There we go. But it's actually going in and editing right in Visual Studio as well. And so I could even come over here. I can save it. I can refresh it. It'll go back to all those browsers as well. So Browser Link is one of those really awesome things. Those are the three things that we've kind of done now. But really what I want to kind of let you guys know about is just having the conduit in place now is going to allow us to really innovate and provide some really cool stuff for web developers. Can you show this full cool feature in Chrome? It should be able to work for you in there as well. So we're just injecting JavaScript. That's all it is. We're just injecting JavaScript, and then we're putting that Signal R connection in there. And so you'll see us embrace all sorts of open source projects like Bootstrap and SignalR. We're really trying to make web developers' lives a lot easier. The other thing we did was we've now we've connected you up to Windows Azure. And so Windows Azure now with the SDK 2.2 allows you to take a look at what you have. It's going to make me... There we go. Come on. Go. We now have the ability to, instead of having to go to the Azure Management Portal, you can now get to all of your resources inside of Visual Studio. You can create new websites. One of the things I can also do here, you can see all your virtual machines. You can right-click on those. Those will get you to a remote desktop connection, so you can get in there. You can take advantage of our new developer workstation that has Visual Studio and SQL Server and SharePoint Server already installed on it. Get that going. You can have a virtual network set up so that you can get back to your on-premises resources like Team Foundation Server or SQL databases or whatever you might have on-premises. Or you can just put your VPN software on there too. But we also have these websites that are available to you, and these are really easy. So you can publish to them. You can debug with them now too. So for example, I can come in here and I can say, hey, attach the debugger. And then I can see those streaming logs in the output window, and then I can get my breakpoints. And so we'll set all of that up for you. And those are now available inside of Visual Studio 2013 with the latest version of Windows Azure. All right, great. See if it comes back here. All right. The other thing that we've done is because modern business applications have all sorts of intelligence in them and algorithms and stuff across, what we've done is we've also partnered with one of our partners, Xamarin. And we've enabled a really cool scenario in that you can now have your common code inside of portable class libraries. How many folks are familiar with portable class libraries? It's basically a DLL and an assembly that you can compile, and it can be used in lots and lots of different places. But two of those new places now are on Android and iOS devices. So the C# that you write can be compiled, it can be managed in Visual Studio, and you can use those now in your iOS and your Android devices. And then you can continue to use the Xamarin product to be able to actually create your iOS and Android projects and compile them and edit them all within Visual Studio. So it's really kind of a great new thing. But we've partnered with them. You now can get some free training to say, hey, I've got C# skills. How do I leverage those to now build iOS and Android apps? And then also, how do I take advantage of portable class libraries? And for all the MSDN subscribers in the room, you get a great discount now on the Xamarin solution. So it's really a cool thing to check out, but it makes you a better developer now. You can leverage your C# skills. Now, as we think about the new modern business app and we think about how we need to be quicker about actually getting our ideas out and implementing those and getting to our customers, we want to transform that life cycle so that we can do that as quickly as possible. And so Microsoft has been in the business of helping you frequently deliver and enabling for those customers that need a continuous delivery. And so we've done a lot of learning to get our 3-year cycle down to 3-week cycles. So we are pushing out updates now every 3 weeks. But that was a big transformation for us. And so we've taken a lot of that learning. We've seen these patterns actually show up with your team. So you think about, we've seen all sorts of diverse teams being distributed across multiple locations, but also the makeup of those teams are now diverse. We're also seeing teams being more autonomous and being able to make the choices that they need to. And then finally, we've seen agility in development. And so the development teams are getting really, really, really quick about putting through changes, but that kind of doesn't help and causes more problems whenever on the production side, and the delivering into the production side is not as quick as well. So we're seeing the need for agility in production as well. And so we really wanted to provide a set of solutions for you for application lifecycle management on your terms. So we've always had Team Foundation Server with a set of capabilities that you've known and loved with on-premises. And now with Visual Studio Online, we're actually providing you those capabilities in the cloud, in a cloud-based service. But we also have an additional set of capabilities. So, for example, we have our new cloud build service. We have all the build servers. Our load testing service. So if you don't want to manage a whole bunch of infrastructure, you can send us your load tests, and we'll take care of that for you. We also have continuous deployment to Azure. So if you have something like a Azure cloud service or Azure website, you know, check in your code. We'll do your build. If the build succeeds with your tests successful, we'll automatically go and deploy that out to Azure, and you can start to see your deployments inside of Azure too. It's a really easy way to get going, especially for dev and test sites. And then Application Insights. I'll talk to you a little bit later about that. And then we already talked about lightweight code editing. But really, you can have ALM your way. You can have Team Foundation Server on-premises for those that want to continue to host that on-premises, but you can take advantage of cloud-based services and Visual Studio Online as you need it. And so as we think about that new era of development, we think about the modern life cycle with DevOps. And so there's really four pieces of that. So we have planning, develop and test, release and monitor and learn. And so as we start to think about planning, some of the impediments we've seen is really scaling Agile across all the teams within your organization. And so there's usually friction in adopting Agile across distributed teams. You don't have a good holistic view of what the teams are doing and all your investments. And then also teams now are autonomous, and so you want to be able to make sure that they are continuing to be autonomous with what they'd like to do, but also fitting in within the Agile structure within their enterprise. So we've done a few things here. Let me switch out over here. We've done a few things to help you out. So this is a Team Foundation Server. You get similar experiences now in Visual Studio Online. And we really help you out with the planning phase. So for example, we have the team dashboard that helps you out see what your iteration is and how you're doing as a team. But as we come over here into our backlog planning, which is something we've had for a while. Oh, gotta get TFS to wake up again. I only fired her up a little while ago. We now have backlog planning, so you can do the backlog as you need to, so your product owners can go in and reorder. Ah, of course. I had a funny story. So my suitcase was lost last night, and so I got it at 2 a.m. I was gonna channel my inner Mark Zuckerberg and go with techno geek chic for my dress today, but thankfully I got my stuff in. But I was really hoping and praying that because the airline baggage gods weren't happy with me last night, that the demo gods would be happy with me today, but it doesn't look like it. So, hey, it happens. All right, so you can plan your backlog. You can have both your product backlog items as well as your bugs on there. But the other thing that we've done is we can now take a look at across teams. And so if you want to take a look at the investments that you're making across your teams, you can go in and say, hey, you know what? One of the things we want to do, let's say, hey, move everything to Windows Azure. And so if we think we have multiple teams, these are business objectives. And so now your stakeholders can track your, oh man, it's really not doing it. I'm going to get Martin behind the stage, see what's going on here. But now we can actually go in and break our business objectives down into the individual work that the teams are doing. And so we can see those across teams. And so if we wanted to, we can even go down to the task level and we're able to get the view. So our stakeholders have a view of what business objectives are important. The teams have a view of what they're working on and how they accrue value back up to the product backlog. And then an individual team member can see whichever view they like. So it's really kind of flexible in that way, and we can prioritize at any of these levels. We've also added tags. So let me come in here. We've also added tags. So let's see. There. We've also added tags, so you can tag each of your individual work items in whichever way, and each team can decide how they want to tag theirs, and then you can go in and you can do things like filtering on those. Another one is we've provided a Kanban board experience. So for example, here are all of our product backlog items, and each team is able to actually customize them in whichever way they'd like. So for example, if they don't need this one, they can just do that. They can create new ones here, say, hey, run it by the Austrians. And then we can also make sure that we tie that column back to our internal state so that we can still continue to report them in the way that we need to. So, that's right. Okay, no problem. I have one here. But now we can move them around just like we normally can. And then we also have our task boards, which allow you to monitor what you're doing inside of your iteration, and it's fully touch enabled. You can use these in your day-to-day scrums and reassign work and update work remaining for those. So it's a really great way of doing that. So a lot of great tools there. If you haven't seen them, feel free to join us a little bit later. We'll be talking about those a little bit more. All right. So we've gone in, we've solved those impediments inside of the planning phase, and then we move into the development phase. And really, what we see with needing to be able to rapidly deliver is to eliminate your debt earlier. So we think about the difficulty there in collaborating. You talk about if you know working in distributed teams. Also, I don't know about you, but I hate when I have a bug in this big, huge code base, and I have to figure out what happened. Certainly from a developer like 5-7 years ago, you know, lack of understanding of a complex code base is not fun, but we've done some things to help you there. Additionally, the load testing service is available to you because scale testing is really important now. If you make a change now, you can be affecting a lot of your users at scale. So we've really made that really easy for you to do with the load testing service. And so let me take a look. We'll take a look at a couple of things we've done to help you out there. Oh, have to remember to keep doing that. All right. So let me, here we go. All right, so the one of the things we've done is we've actually helped you out. I'm gonna leave that page there. One of the things we've done in TFS 2013 and inside of Visual Studio Online is we now have a team room available for you. And so the team room is there to really kind of be this persistent place for the conversations that you have for your team. And so this team could be in a team room, they could be across the street, they can be across the country, or across the world. And so we have this durable record. I like to use the team room whenever I come back. I might be in a meeting, or I might be here in Austria talking to you, and I need to know what's happening on my team so I can go back and take a look at what's going on there. But it's not just a chat room. It's more than a chat room. We know about all the things that are going on. You think about work item events. You think about, let me see here, builds that are happening for your team, code reviews that come in, chain sets. So you take a look at this one here. Start to see, oh yeah, Julia did this. She edited these things here. But we start to get all sorts of information that are very specific to the team, and these are completely customizable. You can go in there and say manage events. But I can also have conversations. So for example, you know, I can say, hey, is Martin in here? Nope. We'll say, hey, Brian, Harry, I hope you are ready with bringing the right clothes for Paris tomorrow. So I don't know if you know about Brian's story, but he's speaking tomorrow in Paris, and so I need to make sure he has the right clothes. But whenever and hopefully his suitcase doesn't get lost tonight. But whenever we do that, we're mentioning people, and so when Brian Harry logs in, he'll actually see that that's for him, and you can go back and get to those conversations that are meant for you really, really easily. So not only that, we've now built in a new feature called CodeLens, and I know I forget who's going to talk about this a little bit later, but as I start to dive in here, I don't know if you can see this. Can you see this little? Oh gosh, I don't know if you see this, but this is kind of like a small line of information that's being added to each of the methods inside there. And so what we're doing is we're gathering information from lots of different places. This is just the beginning, by the way. We're gathering information about, hey, where is this create method actually being used? Okay, I'll, oh, come on. There you go. I can see a few places here, so I can kind of see what's in here. As I start to create, you know, fix the bugs that I'm being asked to fix, I can kind of see, well, how big of a deal is this going to be? I can also see who actually changed this. So I can go in and double click this. It'll actually say, oh, yeah, that's what she did in this last one. Okay, cool. If there's any like bugs that are being fixed here or work items, we'll collect all those. We'll also tell you how you're doing on tests. So, for example, I've got one of two tests here. So instead of having to sift through like thousands and thousands of unit tests, I can figure out what I need. But we're giving you some really good information now right in line. It's called CodeLens. And we're pulling that information from a lot of different places. All right, thanks. All right. We've also done some other things. So we've now have Git, enterprise-grade Git hosting, both in Visual Studio Online and in Team Foundation Server 2013. Martin will talk to you a little bit about that in the next session. And then I mentioned the load testing service as well. All right. How many folks heard about our release management acquisition earlier this year with InRelease? Okay, so we acquired a product called InRelease from InCycle. And really, the release phase has a bunch of impediments that we want to help you out with rapidly delivering. And one of those is just getting it to production quickly using automated deployments. And so you think about dev and QA and the release process. What we've done here is we've actually gone in and helped you out with release management there. And so you take that in-release acquisition, and we've now built that into the product for TFS 2013 and Visual Studio 2013, and we now have release management available to you today. So it's not a separate product. It's just part of it. You don't have to purchase something separate, and you're ready to go with release management. So go ahead and download that later today. We'll also have a VM and some getting started hands-on labs available for you as well. Now, the final thing is we want to be able to release confidently. But once we do release confidently, we want to learn from production. And so this has a couple of impediments that we've seen over time. So we think about just difficulty understanding apps, their availability and their performance. It's really hard to find the root cause of production issues. I don't know about you, but my production rights were taken away from me, so now I don't know what's happening in production. It's probably a good thing because I go and edit things at time to time. Martin's laughing at me because he's seen me do that. But I still need to know what's going on in production as a developer. And then also, this is one of those things we struggle with at Microsoft, and I don't know if you struggle with it as well, but when we need to triage our bugs or we need to figure out what we should invest in next, we need to know how our users are actually using our application so that we can make the right prioritization decisions. And so what we've announced is a limited preview of a new service on Visual Studio Online called Application Insights. And Application Insights allows you to collect all sorts of information that helps you answer a couple of questions. Is my app available? Is it performing well? If it's not performing or available, why? And then also, how can I improve the investment decisions that I have? And so I'm going to quickly show you Application Insights, but I'll show it to you a little bit later, later today at 1 o'clock. All right, so we will hope and pray that the limited preview will work for me today. Okay. I think it will, actually. So when you get started, it's DevTools. All you need to do is sign up for Visual Studio Online. You can create your free account. You'll see this big blue box here. It's a limited preview, so we're onboarding customers gradually over time. You can just click on that. If you have an invitation code, you can put that in there. If you don't, you can add yourself to the waiting list. But once you are in there, you get some dashboards now. And what we can do is we can kind of summarize all the different bits of information. But these dashboards are fully customizable to let you know, hey, how's it going over time? And you can put all sorts of metrics in here. And so some of them we have are like availability. So I'm going to come here and I'm going to pick the 10th through the, let's say the 14th. And so this is availability. We can take advantage of web performance tests that we're using both in functional testing and automated testing. We can use those in our load testing, but we can also use those to track availability from 16 different data centers across the globe. And so what we're doing is we're actually taking those, and not only do you have just basic ping tests, but you can also create these web performance tests, which allow you to say, hey, not only is my order page available, but can I actually take an order? So these are what we call synthetic transactions. But we'll bring all this availability information together, and because this is part of ALM, we're also taking information from other parts of the application lifecycle process. So for example, those releases that we've done and those builds that we've done, we've actually know, hey, this is these little build markers right here are telling us, hey, those are new builds that have gone into production. And so then we can say, hey, you know, after this build happened, we've got a ton of problems in here, and then we fix it in the next build. And so then we can start to go and take a look at, let's click on one of our tests here, like this one. We'll give it a second. And it'll actually show us from all the 16 different data centers across the world how it's doing in the response times. Ah, there we go. And so I can actually see when there's a problem. I can see which location that is. So I'll click on like this one. And then you get to take advantage of all the great stuff around web performance tests, including the test result and, including, you should be able to actually click on that. You can download the web test result and actually open that back up in the Visual Studio, and you'll be able to kind of debug it and everything. The other part of this is being able to get performance. So if I come back in here, you can install an agent on each of your servers, or if you're taking advantage of Windows Azure, those will just emit data back up. But this is performance information from dev, QA, prod, that's actually telling me, hey, what's going on here? And how the servers are performing. But not only that, we're actually going in, we're going to help you find the 10 slowest requests. We'll be able to tell you, hey, what data was passed in the stored procedure. And then when there are performance problems, we'll actually even be able to help you out with, we'll actually help you figure out, hey, what actually is the problem there? And we'll allow you to download the IntelliTrace file, and that will open that back up in the Visual Studio. Now, one of the things we've done in this release is we've made IntelliTrace just super awesome by giving you what I call the gold bar. The gold bar, because we now know if you're using TFS for build and you're using it for deployments, we can actually go in and know, as part of the build process, we can put in some information about where this came from, what's the source code that this came from, what branch did it come from, what's the version of it. We can now tell you what solution it came from as well. So when we open this up, no gold bar. Okay. We'll actually open the solution for you as well. And so that's something new that we haven't been able to do in the past. And then finally, the last thing we help out with Application Insights is being able to get some information back about your users using it. So these are features, these are all sorts of different things. The environments that they're using, the devices that they're using. We also have SDKs available, so you can put up your own business metrics. So if your business users want you to be reporting a certain metric, you can start emitting that in your application, and then that you can create custom dashboards from that as well. And so I'll go over some of this a little bit later. Hopefully it'll be working. Remember, it's a limited preview, so feel free to take advantage of it. It's completely free right now, and help us out with feedback and letting us know how you think about it. So the question was, is it available on premises or only on cloud? And it's a Visual Studio Online service, so you can monitor your applications that do run on premises or in the cloud, but it all goes back to the cloud. So it's not something that the service runs on premises. Great question. All right, so I'll answer some more of those a little bit later today. The things I want to leave you with is that Visual Studio and MSDN and Windows Azure are really great. We've brought them together. They are the best platform for cloud in tools development today. And so we're in a new era of Visual Studio. Take advantage of Visual Studio Online, you know, either in your individual and moonlighting work, but also for team usage as well. And so really the things you should take away today is get started, sign up for a free Visual Studio Online account, register for the Application Insights Limited Preview if you'd like, and then make sure if you haven't downloaded and started using Visual Studio 2013 today, please feel free to do that. We've got round tripping. We've done a lot of work to help you guys out with actually being able to upgrade from edition to edition. So we've got lots of great stuff for you today. Be sure to enjoy the event. Thank you for watching. Thank you for attending. We've got a lot to learn today. So if you have any questions, feel free to come and get us. But looking forward to the event today. Thanks a lot, everyone.